We're going to try to do a little review. Now, you get most of the answers correct, right? Does the Lord want us to have balance in our life?
Yes.
Okay, see? Okay, we'll go on. What's the problem with all the advancements that we have? That's right. That's a fact. And is there anything wrong with advancements in and of themselves?
No.
No, there isn't. Okay, but how we allow them to control our life, right? Now, do you know that you have certain limits?
Yes.
Yes, you do. You have certain limits. And the beginning of balance is to try to get us to operate within those limits. Is that correct? Okay. Most people are, how much of their limit? Yeah. We can even, we'll just use the phrase because somebody might nitpick that, right? Just say that they are at or beyond their limits, right? And what happens when you're at or beyond your limits with the quality of your life and your work that you do? Yeah. One or the other area will then be lacking. So think of it, if you're at 120% of your limit, then 20% is being robbed from actually some other portion that you should be paying attention to. It might be your family, it might be your wife, it might be your church, whatever it might be. Okay, and I think it'll help you put that in perspective, right? Okay, and let's see here. Sleep deprivation. I discussed our amen corner there. And he says he's going to try to do that. But as hard as it is, if any of you have tried to change what you eat, changing your sleep pattern is even harder. Okay, it's a very difficult thing, but we can do all things, right? And the Lord can help you, but you're going to have to change. Sleep is a real... So I can't tell you how important sleep is. Really, you just won't believe me on how much it can change your life. And I've dealt with many, many people that have been sleep deprived, and some really tears down your body and your ability, your what is called your cognitive skills. Okay, so you're going to start exercising because you need to have at least more energy than an old man on Social Security. Isn't that true? Shouldn't you have more energy than somebody on Social Security? Now think about that now. Don't, you know, come on. Okay, do I have everybody? Okay, I think we do, huh? Okay. So we're going to start here. We're going to talk about spiritual and soul balance. Is that where we are in the workbook? So let's go to 2 Timothy. Is 1:7 is in your verses too? Do you have that one? Okay. We'll see if it's correct. If not, I'll need the pastors to think of a verse that applies real quick. But God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, right? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. I do pray, Father, that you would bless. Lord, open up our understanding. We need to just grasp certain of these principles. And Lord, may we challenge ourselves, Lord, really that we would know that your Spirit would reveal through the Word of God us very clearly so that we can make the changes that need to be, make the choices that need to be. And Lord, in the end result would be your glorification through the salvation of souls. Amen. Okay, so we're going to go and... So I don't know, how many of you have ever reached the point that, like, you feel like you're at your max. And if somebody gave you anything else to do, you thought that you would just, like, go crazy or something, right? Anybody been there? Any time in your life, anybody been there? Only, really? Wow, man. I'm telling you, oh, that's pretty amazing. I didn't know I was only preaching to me. And anyway, so I hope that that doesn't happen. And if you're not there, that's great. Every morning we wake up to greet the day with a finite amount of time, right? Physical strength, soul and spiritual power, as we meet with God in prayer and Bible reading, as well as throughout the day as we meditate upon godly things. We are seriously weakened when the spirit and soul are in imbalance. Many perceive this personal situation not as a blessing from God, but a burden from which we escape. They live in the survival mode. People today have more of everything except deep-seated happiness and joy, and we are all constantly bombarded with soul and spiritual pressures. The adversary has developed it that way. So how do we get our balance back? Will we now look for the four things needed to have a proper foundation? And we're just going to talk about four things, but it's just the beginning of it, okay? You need to examine yourself in these areas. Now, the reason that you might not be maxed out is because you're not in the game, so to speak. You know, the more we try to be spiritual, the more we finally figure out that the world is trying to get us not to live a spiritual life. See, if you're not trying to live spiritually at all, then you're not going to understand what I'm saying. But as you try to live what we are going to call the whole life as a Christian, which is our work, our play, our family, a Christian life, we come to realize that the world is bombarded, you know, just continually trying to get us to not live spiritual in all these places. So what I'm trying to challenge you, you have to even think about this. If there's no pressure on you, is it because you're not trying to live a Christian life? You know, it's when you start to try to live to honor the Lord that there are these conflicts that come in. So you need to examine all of these things. One is, you know, are you saved? The other is, are you spiritual? Are you trying to live that life that is pleasing unto the Lord? But we need to keep all of this. Remember, your work, you're going to do a good job at work. You're going to try to do whatsoever you do in word or deed, you're going to do it for what? To bring the end of glory to God, to bring glory to the Lord. When you start getting in that framework, then your world starts to change quite a bit. So remember, there's this thing about persecution, suffering persecution. What does it say at the beginning of the verse? They that live what? Godly. It doesn't say everybody's going to suffer persecution. It says they that would live godly, right? And, of course, the Lord has called us to live godly and to be conformed into the image of His dear Son. So a lot of times as you look at their lives and it seems like they're going along okay, it's because that godly part is missing. So, but we aren't going to try to do that. So we're going to talk about the basic life. Bob Hawkins and I talked a little bit last night on the subject, and he just popped in, right? But he said when he was a kid, yes, they did work hard. They had to work hard. But he said there was so little other things that invaded into their life. Like they didn't get off work and then have 3 hours of, you know, some kind of thing going on or other things or even telephones when he was a kid, you know, coming in with all kinds of calls. I don't know how many calls you get a day and how important they are. But how many of you are on call for the emergency room at the local hospital? Okay, how many of you are nuclear scientists? And if there's going to be a meltdown at a power plant, they need your help before the world ends. Anybody there? Okay, no? Okay. So, you know, most of us don't need to be I always get a kick out of people, you know, they call the pastor and say, would you pray for me? Like, you know, I'm a priest or something, you know? I said, did you pray? Well, no, you have the same power with God as I do, or available anyways. And I guess that's what I'm trying to say is, do you need to be communicated with that much? But anyways, many people are detailed to death with life. Okay, now I'm going to talk to the younger generation here. That's you. Okay. You're included, right? I can't get in. Really, now, You know things about people that you're communicating with. Is there really a need to know at how many boys smiled at the girls this today? All the details that are into your life. Do you need to know all those things? Since you received texts, now I know texts are a form of communication, but do they come in and are you getting to know details that you don't even need to know? Really, you need to challenge yourself on these things because all of that is chipping away at your level that you can handle. You might not think it is, but it is. Just a little bit. Say, oh, that information, or this come in, or I found out that another preacher went bad. You know what I mean? Or whatever it is. All this information is taking a little bit of your max away from you. Okay? Little by little. And remember, your relationship with your parents, with your children, with your husband, your work, all of these things are your ministry. Everything that you do, in word or deed, that is ministry for all of us. We don't separate or segregate. Even when I hunt, and I like to hunt, I need to do that for the glory of God. In other words, I don't use spotlights at night. Right? I do have one, but I don't use it. Am I tempted to use it? Yes. But do I use it? No, I don't. Because I know, that when I do things wrong, I get caught. I don't know about you. But no, it doesn't bring glory to God. So why doesn't somebody read John 10:10, the entirety? Actually, where is Catherine, where are you? How come I can't see Catherine?
She has my kids.
Oh, does she? Okay. Well, Catherine memorized the whole verse today, not part of it. So who's got John 10:10? Somebody just go ahead. Please have it down. Okay. The abundant life, not a burdensome life. Not one that the details of life, every time you get another detail, you know, you're down. The reason that you get like that is because you're overtaxed. You need to back off a lot. And so many of us are taught that that's spiritual. And we have to understand, no, living the balanced life is spiritual. So somebody may think that you're lazy. They may even disagree with you. But that's not the point. The point is that you know your limits. You know what God would have you to do. And you're going to set out your day to stay within your limits or even have something in reserve. So if the Lord wants you to do something, that you'll be able to have the strength to do it. That you won't say, well, no, I'm maxed out today. I can't do it. I'll talk to you about the Lord tomorrow. Maybe your day is too full. Right? Is that person going to be there tomorrow? Do you know that? Be careful. You know what I mean. Be careful. All I'm saying is it because you're maxed out? Now, if you're not maxed out and you really believe that you need to talk to that person tomorrow, fine. I don't fault that. We need to get back to what really matters according to the Word of God. Matthew 6:33, who's ever there first? If you get there first before me, please just stand up but speak loudly. Okay, and he's talking about spiritual or clothing or practical here. What's the application? It's practical, right? He's talking about being clothed, being fed, right? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all of these other things. So what is seeking the kingdom of God? Well, is it just that, you know, some kind of ethereal place there? But he's talking about the kingdom and glorifying God. So we're supposed to seek first the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to ask you this. Is that on your mind? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God, or whether it's pastors or whether it's us, or are we seeking to make our own kingdom? Really, you need to challenge yourself with that. What is our motivation for even what we do? I can tell you, I can honestly tell you that there's times when I was pastoring that I believed that I was trying to build my kingdom on this earth, and it was called the church. right? And that ruled, overruled the rest of my responsibilities that the Lord would have me to do. So when I'm seeking His kingdom, being a balanced part of a balanced life is absolutely necessary, because I want to fulfill what the Lord would have me to do. And what with pastors, because I'm talking to pastors here, we can get this way, and then if we lose our children or our wife, we actually lose the ministry, our qualifications. Where if a church member, you have to understand the power of that, because most church members, if you lose your children or your wife as a church member, and I'm talking about there's no sin involved here in the sense of overt, something overt, do you lose your membership? Do you lose your job, you know, your function before the Lord? No, you don't. But pastors do. They have certain qualifications, and you need to appreciate that in your pastor. And that is why he does certain things, because he has to maintain his qualifications. And even though you are asked to do all that the pastor is asked, his is what I call a qualified, it's qualified, it's clarified in what he needs to live. And so you need to appreciate that in your pastor and understand it. But it, the joy of a spirit-filled life is found in the communion with Christ. So, you can go there. Whoever's first, John 15. I think most of us know what John 15 talks about. If you're there, you can stand up and speak loudly. So there's this abiding nature. That's the relationship that we're supposed to have, right? This seek ye first kingdom of God. It's an abiding relationship. It's you and Christ. So is that on your mind at all? And I want to challenge you with this. What is your motivator? Because whatever your motivator is, then that's going to determine how you follow the course of your day. And if it's to the flesh, what are you going to find? You'll go to the flesh. If it's to the Spirit, then you're going to go to the Spirit. But there is this communion with Christ. So it affects every part of your life. Now, I'm trying to speak to the young people and to the old. I have to tell you that when you're going to get in balance, when you're going to walk this life, everything that you do is affected by your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's how you speak. It motivates me to speak differently to my wife than maybe my nature would. It does. From the very beginning, when she tells me that my African haircut doesn't lay right. So, okay, I'll tell you this story. See, I went to go get this African haircut. And I, because, you know, Africans have different hair than we do. You understand that? It doesn't lay straight like this, right? So I didn't go to the people that cut their hair, because all they do is go zing, 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 and that's it, you know, and they look good in it, you know, and us, but not me, right? So I went to a place that I thought was going to give me, you know, that somebody, I saw some other white people there, right? And so I sat down in this thing, and I should have been warned, because I sat down there and I was watching this guy. And all I saw him go was zing, 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 zing. And I said, maybe the guy wanted his hair cut that way. And he ended up that, you know, the sides weren't cut down, and up as it goes up here, instead of being long enough that you can comb it, right, Dave? Long enough that you can comb it, right? It was like, you know, this long, and it went like that, you know? And I said, well, maybe the guy thinks he's cool, you know? And that's, you know, that's what he was. See, look, like his. And you know, and so I went there, and he says, so, yeah, where are you from? And I got two words out of my mouth. He says, hey, you're a Yankee. I said, no, I'm Canadian. And I said, but I had the first so many years in USA, and then the last 25 years in Canada, you know. And so I said, and he said, oh, it's Canada. And so he went there, and we were talking and everything. He says, what kind of haircut? I said, I just want a little off, just a trim, what we would call a trim. That means, listen, when you don't have much hair, you don't, you know. And so I just wanted this off. And he says, okay. So he started. So around his neck was all this gold. I thought he was Mr. T, you know. And there was all this gold and crosses and crucifixes. He said, look. And I told him I was a pastor, you know. He said, look at that. That's a cross there. And there was a verse on there, you know, and everything. He said, yeah, I'm a Christian. And he was talking and everything while he's talking, right? zing, 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 zing. And honestly, after he got done, he says, "Oh, come," I look in the mirror. And I didn't even have my glasses on, which means I can't see. And I went and I said, "Oh, no, you know, but you can't glue it back on, right?" So I paid him, and then I went into the washroom, and I looked at it, and I said, "Man, this is really wild." And I just took water and squished it down, you know, and this is, I don't know if you can see how long this hair is here, but this is 3 weeks. So, you know, it was just long. I was embarrassed, man. But then I says, everybody will think I'm just an old man that doesn't know how to comb his hair. You know? So I went around acting like an old man. Moose, right? Yeah. Oh, all the girls there, they get their hair cut very, very short. And then they buy extensions to have long hair. Yeah, really, they do. Because some of their traditions, like Montepello was there, and her aunt died. And so one of the things that she did, that the family made her do, was shave her hair to show her mourning. And she knows about long hair and other things, so she had a, you know, they put extensions in. The other thing is the wildlife that might hang out in hair doesn't attach itself to extensions and other things, because it's mostly horse hair. Okay, but anyway. Okay, the basic life. We'll get back to it. Jesus lived a basic life, a balanced basic life, seeking only to do the will of God. And of course, I think most of you understand that, don't you? How many of you understand that Jesus fulfilled the will of the Father perfectly? And did he go and make any mansions for himself? And I'm not telling you you don't need a house. I don't fault you for needing a house. I know you have to work. I know you're not going to have a 3-year ministry like the Lord did. But where's your kingdom, right? So Jesus lived a basic life, seeking only the will of God, and he did it very, very well. The Bible teaches us to live like a king, not as a king. Let's go to John 13. We're close to there. And then 13. "You call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done unto you." And so we see his behavior was so different than many, many other people, or most other people, or maybe even all other people. The pattern Jesus left for us was simplicity, sacrifice, and service. We must believe that our highest priority in life is to seek God's kingdom, God's honor, and God's glory. And is that a natural state of our human condition? No, it is not. You have to be born again, and it is a spiritual, the spirit itself is the provoking agent for this. You are not going to reform your old man. Your old man is not going to change. The old man is the way that it is. You have to nurture the spiritual. You have to yield to the spiritual, to the Holy Spirit of God. Your old man is going to be your old man until the redemption of the body. And we'll say thank you when that happens. Really, I don't know if since I'm one of the few here that have a problem with overextending myself, I also noticed that a lot of times people aren't having any struggle with this, but there's thoughts that come to my mind that I just want to get to that point where the redemption of the body, where that thought will never come again. I really do. I think, oh, wouldn't that be something? To be there in the presence of God and not have a sinful thought. That, really. That'd be pretty cool, man. I'm serious. And then, you know, where could that take you? God's kingdom comes first in our plans, our expectations, our future, our family, our reputation, and our possessions belong to him. Now, do you think that I'm still trying to get that mature? And the answer is, yes, I am. But that doesn't excuse us for not trying to go in that direction. And if you learn that, and if you do trust the Lord with these type of things, he says he will If you seek the kingdom of God first, He'll add all these things unto you. But if you try to do it all yourself, you are going to have a life that is above your limits. You will be living a life of imbalance. And I know that we're going to understand that more and more as we mature in the Lord. But even on a young person's level, you need to try to put this in and implement this in your life. And I do. I want to encourage you to go back and think of this. If you have a true, strong love for Jesus, then anything that distracts you from Him will be gladly cut away from your life. Isn't that? Let's try Micah 6:8. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Oops. Micah. Hey, we found it. Everybody found it? Let's see if everybody finds it real quick. Who's gonna? Everybody got it? 6:8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Right? Is that a good verse? Yeah, it is. It's quite a verse, isn't it? There in those minor prophets, so called. So we are to do this, and we are to live a life. Now, external practices of the Christian life require an internal foundation. The reason that you didn't do it is because I forgot to read it. Okay, external practices of the Christian life require an internal foundation. What do I do? What do I do? Why do I do, I should say. Now, let me read that one more time. Why do I do what I do? There you go. Every day we must build our personal relationship with Jesus Christ so that we would truly live a basic life, one in which our priorities line up with Him. So if now think about what I'm trying to say there. You know what the Bible teaches on. How many of you have been saved for anything longer than a couple months, right? You must know what the Bible says about living the life for the Lord. I mean, really, if you've read your New Testament at all, you see it's repeated there and repeated in there. So if you have your plans, and it doesn't include the Lord anywhere in it, right? You've got your plans and your promotions, and you're at way at your limit. If you're not there, you're close to it, and nothing spiritual is involved there, then you're living an absolutely imbalanced life. It has to start. So let's say that the center bearing of a wheel, we all know that, the wheel goes round and around. The wheel's on the bus. You should have sang that one. Go round and around, but the center bearing that really holds all the weight and all of that that comes out is supposed to be the Lord. And then everything that goes on beyond that is supposed to be for His glory, whether it be work or school. See, in school, really, now with young people, right, you should be doing your absolute best in school. That's right now, that's what you do for a living, right? Right in school, you should be so that it would glorify God. That should be the reason for it. Not because you want to get pats on the back or all the things, but to glorify God. See, then you can truly say that going to school is then ministry. It's part of who you are in the Lord. So all that we do is supposed to be done in that way. So everything should be radiating out of a love for God. I'm not telling you not to go to school. I'm not telling you not to work. I'm not telling you to buy a house. But even the house and all of these things is all there to glorify God. And so when you make up decisions, and I don't know, see, the old evangelicals and Pentecostals and stuff like that, years ago, we used to call this, yes, the person is saved, but they have not made Jesus Lord of their life. Now, Jesus is Lord of your life, positionally. But practically speaking, you have to act as if He is Lord. And that means that you do your day based upon your love of God, and you're going to change things. It changes everything that you do. With that thought in your mind, it changes how to work, how you speak, your relationships, what your desires and goals are, and they're all good. And I'm not telling you I have it down perfectly, but I have to say after a few years now, we're trying to get it so that I don't, you know, run lopsided all the time, right? But if you have no idea what I'm talking about, then I have to tell you that your life is in balance. Because that center has to be the honor and glory and love of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He's done for you. And then everything you do radiate like spokes of a wheel, radiate from that, and your tire runs circular and smoothly, okay? So challenge yourself on these things. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then seek some help, because really, you don't even know it. You can't see it because you don't have your spiritual eyes on. You're running imbalanced, okay? And so the Lord bless you, and then we'll have more this evening. You got all the blanks filled in? Okay. Lord bless you.